you know, you come across friends and relatives who pass, and it's so painful, and it seems to be such a negative experience. This book was always in me, and so one day I just sat down and wrote it and hoped that it would heal me and heal others and give comfort to others.
So one of the greatest public services government offers are libraries, right, Kyle?
And our library system is incredibly impressive. We have 17 libraries. We're constantly working to update, 15, open new ones.
Another few hundred little free libraries. People go to libraries to read. They go to make T-shirts now. There are even some karaoke, 3D, maker spaces, meeting rooms, performances, computers, right? Apply for jobs.
More than books.
But what people often don't pay much attention to is the extraordinary librarians. We have librarians doing extraordinary things. And today we're talking to one who didn't just write a book. She wrote two books, and they're both in English and in Spanish. Adriana Camacho Church, one of the more extraordinary Delaware librarians you will ever meet. Today on Pod County. Hello, Newcastle County. Buenos dias. I am Matt Meyer, the Newcastle County Executive here on Pod County. It's great to be here with one of our newest Delaware authors, librarian, Newcastle County librarian, Adriana Camacho Church. Welcome, Adriana.
Buenos dias. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Buenos dias. Vamos a hablar un poco en español y un poco en inglés, los dos.
Okay.
Por esta entrevista, we're going to talk some in English, some in Spanish, because that's actually what happens in the book that's sitting in front of me. Abuela, ¿a dónde irá tu amor? Grandma, ¿where will your love go? A new book out by, again, Newcastle County librarian Adriana Camacho Church, illustrations by Gaston Haviller. Let's start with this. Librarians have extraordinarily difficult jobs. It's hard to underestimate. People don't realize that when you have a facility that anybody can walk into, it's not that easy. In addition to your job at our libraries, why did you write this book?
Because it was a story that has been in me for many, many years. And it's about my grandmother. My grandmother raised my brothers and sisters and I in Colombia, where I was born. At that time, my mom was working for a department store, and she decorated department store windows. And my dad was in the United States, and he worked in a restaurant in New York washing dishes. And eventually, we met up with my dad in Chicago, and I never saw my grandmother again. And she taught me how to be compassionate, how to work hard. And she wasn't a woman of a lot of words. She was a woman of action. And she taught me what love is because of what I saw that she did. She would feed people in the community. She was always sewing or cooking or doing something. But it wasn't just for us. It was for anybody that came to her door. And at times, we had people lined up in front of our house for food, and they were seasonal workers. And she didn't charge anyone. She was there to help whoever came to help.
Wow. That's amazing. How old were you when you came to Chicago?
I was 6 years old, and I was hoping to see my grandma again. And I didn't see her. At the age of eight, I was told she had passed. And I...
So just 2 years later?
Yeah.
Wow.
And she was supposed to come to visit us.
So you knew, when you got on a plane to go to Chicago, you knew you'd see your grandmother again. You believed you'd see your grandmother
again. I believed
again.
I would.
It wasn't in the realm of a six-year-old mind that was the last time you were ever seeing her.
Correct. Oh. So as an eight-year-old, I tried to comprehend that. And I think as I grew up and I learned about death, not that I didn't know about death then, but... You know, you come across friends and relatives who pass, and it's so painful and seems to be such a negative experience. This book was always in me, and so one day I just sat down and wrote it and hoped that it would heal me and heal others and give comfort to others.
So this book could have taken many forms. You chose to write a children's book.
Actually, no. it came out that way. And I think it came out that way because I have images that come forth and I put them into words. And this is the way these images came out. And it's kind of prose, and they're very simple sentences. And when I looked at the manuscript, I realized it was more of a children's book. And thought, okay, I wrote this about 20 years ago.
You wrote this about 20 years ago?
Yes, I did. And it wasn't perfect. I felt it wasn't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So I continue writing other manuscripts and submitting them to publishers, but nothing got picked up. And then in 2021, I decided to look at it again, and I realized what was wrong. It was two stories in one. So I separated them, I fixed them up, submitted them, and they were picked up right away.
Mm.
Just like that.
Two stories in one, how so?
How so? Well, one story is about loss, you know, feeling comfortable, feeling comfort through nature. The other story is about how to be your own person. The other story is called Grandma's Hair is Ankle Length. And this child wants to be like her grandmother. And Grandma says, no, you have to be who you are meant to be. And you're going to stand on your own 2 feet. And I will tell you stories and I will give you wisdom. But it's all up to you.
So hay otro libro.
Sí, otro libro.
¿Cuándo? When?
May 2024.
So we got more coming. So we're here to talk about Adriana, who has her first published children's book. Apparently the book's been around for 20 years, but now we all get to read it. Mm-hmm. And she's got a second bilingual book coming out. I'm looking at it here, not yet in book form. Grandma's Hair is Ankle Length. So you separated them out. This is the book about loss. And then the next book coming is about how I love my grandma. I want to be exactly like my grandma, but chart your own path.
Yes, exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly. Some people have said that the subjects are a little, maybe a little advanced for kids, but I don't think so. These are subjects that are sensitive, but they're part of reality. They're part of life. And we tend to underestimate children. And the book about loss, I believe, will provide an avenue to discuss loss. I mean, because we lose our pets, and sometimes children don't know how to express that. And it's nice to encourage children, or even adults, to talk about it.
Yeah, and there are probably quite a few children who are losing grandparents out there as well. Great-grandparents, brothers, sisters at times. So.
Exactly.
Thank you. I mean, this is the kind of book that can help a lot of people, people you will never, ever meet.
Exactly.
A little bit like a library does.
Exactly. I wanted to give an example. I went to Aspida Academy a few weeks ago to read the book to a group of second graders, and they're the age of 7 and 8. And I was reading the book. I finished, and this little girl raises her hand, and she says, my grandmother has been crying because my grandpa died, and she should read your book. This is my, and it brought tears to my eyes. So it's for everyone.
Yeah, it's not just for,
exactly,
for children. Grandma, where will your love go? In the acknowledgments, right in the front, you have an interesting line where you say, to my abuelo who lives in my heart, you thank your husband, your daughters, your mom, your father, your brothers, and your sisters. And then you thank your doctors, Dr. Abel, Dr. Evans, and Dr. Rosen, for restoring your sight.
Yes, yes. So in 2020, I had brain surgery because I was losing my sight. It started at the end of 2019. There was this spider web that got thicker and wider, and it was blocking my view, and the optometrist couldn't figure out what was going on. And then eventually I was told I needed an MRI, and the MRI revealed that I had a cyst a centimeter long pressing on my optic nerves, and it was causing me to go blind. And
was it painful?
It was. I didn't have headaches. I didn't have any symptoms.
Just that web.
So what happened was I went in for a consultation on March 16, and that consultation was almost canceled because the country was shutting down. And I told the nurse at Jefferson Hospital, I need to go to this consultation. I'm going blind. It cannot be canceled. Mm. So she said, okay, you need to get here before 5. So my husband and I basically flew to Philly. There was no one on the freeway, which was fantastic.
If any of our county police are listening, please disregard this part of
yes,
the podcast.
Disregard. So we got there, and the doctor saw me, and he says, you need surgery, and we don't know when we're going to be open. And I said, well, I go blind. If I don't have the surgery immediately, he said, maybe.
Wow.
So I said, okay, we need to do this now. So 30 minutes later, I was across the street in a hospital bed with needles in my veins.
It was on March 16th.
Yes, 2020.
And we had closed. That was a Monday, I think. We closed the county on the 13th. Everything was closing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was across the street getting ready for brain surgery. And he said to me, we're going to go through your nose. And I thought, fantastic. It's like a nose job. I don't have to worry about this. I don't even want to know the details. Just do what you have to do because mm-hmm. you need to get this thing out of my head.
Yeah.
And so my husband was told, you cannot be here. You need to go home. And he said, I won't go home until you give her a cell phone charger because otherwise I won't be able to communicate with her. And I had already signed all the paperwork that if things go wrong, that's it.
Wow.
So they found a charger. He left. And I spent the rest of the evening just trying to be calm and do my yoga breathing. And
they did the procedure that day?
They did it the next day around 6 in the morning.
Wow. And everything went fine?
Everything went great. I was in the hospital 2 days. When I stepped out of the hospital, I just stood there in the sidewalk looking at all the detail and the color, and I was just shocked.
You could see in a way.
I could see, yeah. But it was even better than before. Huh. So then during recovery, I had 4 months, and that's when I took out the manuscript. And I looked at it, and it was like, boom, I know what's wrong with this manuscript. So I tell my friends, it took a hole in my skull to realize what I needed to do with this manuscript. And I'm grateful that
so when people come to you and say, what do I need to do to publish my book?
Exactly.
You say, all you need is a hole in your head.
That's all you need.
It's interesting how you often, authors, I think, look to others to give them perspective. You, through this life-changing event, almost created a new perspective yourself.
Yeah.
Did it give you additional motivation? Like you imagine when you have something that scary and that life-threatening.
Absolutely.
It makes you pause and think, "What? We're all going to leave here one day. What do I want to get done before I get out of here?
That's what I, or we may lose our vision.
Tomorrow, and or today.
Or today, so I need to get things done. I need to try my best and stop having the doubts and the fears and just do it.
Wow.
And bring the fear and the doubt with you and get it done.
This book is a gift, es un regalo. Por la gente de nuestro estado, Delaware, you should really check it out. It is available at Huxley and Hero on Market Street in Wilmington. They ran out the night that you signed it. I think they've gotten more in. It's a new bookstore on Market Street in Wilmington, and also will be available very, very, very soon in Newcastle County Libraries. They're in the process of being delivered. Talk about being a Newcastle County librarian. When did you start? Why did you start being a librarian?
Well, I believe it was 2023 when I started, or maybe 2022. So it's been like 20 years.
2000.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Right. Yes, absolutely. So it kind of happened by accident. We had just moved to Delaware from California. And in California, I had been working for newspapers and magazines online as a freelance writer and reporter. I was on deadlines and things like that. I had 2 little kids. And so we moved to Delaware, and I went to the library because I know that's where you meet other people. And I wanted my children to meet other children. And there was story time, and I wanted them to experience that. And while I was there, I saw this girl shelving books, and I thought, what a wonderful job. Hmm. No stress, no deadlines. So I walked up to the desk, and I asked if I could apply for this position. And they said, yes, it's called a page. And so I said, okay. I applied. I got the job. Loved it. And I coordinated that with school hours and things like that. And it was perfect because I would get home and I still had the energy to be a mom and everything. But about 2 months later, I was told that I was going to be promoted. And I was very disappointed because I didn't want to work behind the desk. I was having a great time being a page.
Being in the stacks.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And, of course, I took the job. They even said, hey, it's $1 more. And I
was per like, hour.
Per hour, yeah. So I thought, yeah. So I took the job working behind the circ desk, and I met a lot of people. I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. And then I'm going to say 3 or 4 years later, I was promoted to a reference library specialist, and that's what I'm currently doing. And it's been quite a journey. I have been able to initiate a lot of programs that were not in the libraries before. And the reason how this happened was because I started doing bilingual story time, and the moms would come up to me, the Spanish-speaking moms, and say, how do I find a doctor? Or I have a lump in my breast, and I don't know where to go, and I want to learn English. I want to learn how to use a computer. So I took down all these notes, and one by one, I was like, okay, we need a computer instructor that can teach computers in Spanish. We need ESL classes. So I took it one by one. I called up organizations. I said, would you like to volunteer someone to come and teach these classes and do this and that? They did. But one of the most exciting workshops that I've organized and that eventually spread to other libraries was the immigration information workshops. And we had immigration attorneys coming in to talk about the status of being an immigrant, paperwork, and things like that. And that was quite exciting.
Know your rights and know the opportunities.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you. It's very easy for me to stand up as county executive and say we're making libraries equally available across communities. But it really doesn't matter if we don't have the right staff in the libraries. And you've done a tremendous job thinking creatively to make sure our library doesn't just wait for people to come in, but actively reaches out to communities that you see and you know are not coming in the libraries the way they should. So thank you for
gracias.
That.
Gracias. Gracias.
It's very important. And now it's ironic because the new addition to the library will be this beautiful bilingual story, the first of a two-book series.
Yes.
With the next one coming out. Why do you think this matters? Why do you think child literacy and youth reading programs, why do you think they matter?
It's extremely important. Literacy at a very young age exposes us to vocabulary, to ideas, to imagination, how to be creative, how to solve problems. And books also help us to be more human and not to be afraid of the unknown and what is different. And to expose children at an early age, especially books about other cultures and countries and children. And it's extremely important because it'll help you reach out to people as you get older and understand and be compassionate. If you don't have literacy, your soul cannot develop. Your soul cannot evolve. You need it. And it also helps with your education, with jobs, with so many things. So, yes, literacy is extremely important.
This book was picked up by Pinata Press, which has to have one of the best names of a publisher I've ever heard. It is a book. Do not use it as a pinata. Though I presume you can, and maybe you could fit it in a pinata.
Yes, you should.
How do you get Pinata Press? How do you get a press?
Well, so what I did was I looked for traditional publishers that did not require an agent because I was not going to spend my time finding an agent. It takes too long, and no. So I just focused on getting the book published. So I looked for traditional publishers that did not require an agent and also that focused on bilingual books because the book had to be bilingual. There was no other option. There's not a lot out there. So I sent it out to 10 publishers, and Pinata was the 10th one, and they were the ones who picked it up. And so
based in Houston?
In Houston, right. Yes. So what I recommend when you write a book, have a person that knows grammar look at it. And the person that looked at my book, he has a column in Out and About magazine called War on Words. His name is Bob Yearwick. Mm-hmm. I had him look at the manuscript for grammar errors, and he only found one, thank goodness.
Pero solamente en inglés.
Solamente en inglés.
Only in English.
Yes. And then I had two friends of mine who are also writers look for errors in the content. Does anything sound awkward? Is there anything missing? And then I submitted the manuscript. I felt it was ready.
It's a beautiful book. How do you find the illustrator? It's really beautiful.
Yeah, the publisher found the illustrator. He lives in Argentina, and he's been an illustrator for many books. And yes, the illustrations are beautiful. So what I love about working with Piñata Press is they gave me the opportunity to also decide if I liked the illustrations or not. So I went through every single illustration, and I suggested what should be removed,
wow,
what should be added, what needed to be fixed, and they worked with me on that, and it was a great experience.
It's a beautiful book from a fantastic public servant, Adriano Camacho Church. Grandma, where will your love go? Abuelo, ¿a dónde irá tu amor? It's really beautiful. You said we got another one coming out. Grandma's hair is ankle length.
Yes. And
I would tell you what that is, but I don't know what ankle is. Tobillos. Tobillos.
Los tobillos.
El cabello de abuela le llega hasta los tobillos.
Yes. And there's a reason why it has this title. My grandma's hair was quite long. Mm-hmm. And as a child, I thought it reached her ankles. My mom said, no, it didn't. But I...
He said, yeah, it's amazing.
But to me, but it was super long. And her hair had this beautiful white in it and black strands. And so to me, the black strands represented the darkness, the fears, and the white strands, the wisdom and all that. So the book just kind of took off from there.
And you wanted to have hair that was ankle length like grandma.
I did want to have long hair,
When did you give up that dream? As I look at your hair, I'm assuming eventually you did give up that dream.
Yes, when I became a mom. It was too much.
Gotcha.
From grandma's ankle length hair, it was illustrated by a woman who lives in Mexico, and her name is Carmen Lope. The illustrations are phenomenal in this book as well.
Fantastic. And we look for that to come out
on May 2024.
May 2024, and we'll be right back at Huxley and Hero, hopefully for another
Yes.
I don't want to commit them to it.
Yeah.
And again, also, by Piñata Books.
Exactly. And you could also pre-order this book. It's on Amazon.
Fantastic. So yeah, two things new on Amazon. Check out Grandma, Where Will Your Love Go? And Grandma's Hair is Ankle Length, both by our very own librarian, Adriana Camacho Church.
Sí. Thank you, Matt.
Muchísimo gracias. It's really a huge benefit to the community, not only to have a librarian who's so creative and welcoming and bringing people in, but to create something that then can sit in our libraries for people to read for years to come in, you know, English, Spanish, that serves the overwhelming majority of the population that walks into our libraries. Thank you.
And I just have one thing to say as well. Almost all of our libraries have workshops on writing. We also have author events where local authors come in and they read their stories and they talk about their books. So there's a lot that you can find in our libraries if you are interested in pursuing writing or even writing plays or novels, anything like that. We have materials. We have resources. So come on in and see what we have.
Library is not just a place to read. It's also a place to write.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thank you, Matt, for this opportunity.